D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 the game. The college football playoff national title will be handed out this evening when Ohio State takes on Notre Dame. Game starts at 6:30. You can hear it here on 102.5, 106.3 the game, starting at 7, following the conclusion of the Commodore Hour. Joining us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com to preview said college football playoff national title game, Mitch Light, college football editor at The Athletic. Mitch, I'm going to borrow a motto from the SEC, although there are no SEC teams playing in this game. I want you to fill in the blank. It will mean more for blank to win this national title tonight.
Ryan Day. I don't know if you were looking for a specific team.
You can take it anywhere you want. Ryan Day is perfectly fine.
Ryan Day. I always joke, like, we're talking about teams or coaches. My advice to so-and-so would be not to lose. My advice to Ryan Day for the quality of his life and the quality of his family's life over the next 11 months until they play Michigan would be to win this game. Because there will still, as Joe Rexroad wrote last week, if you guys saw his story in The Athletic, there are still some Ohio State fans that don't like Ryan Day and think he stinks at coaching because he hasn't beaten Michigan. But that number goes down every game he wins. And I would think he would have a lot of the Ohio State fan base on his side if he wins the game. So I think of all of the people, coaches, teams there, this game means more to Ryan Day.
So him taking this team to the national title game is not enough to sway the naysayers?
No, I should have opened the story. There's one young man who lives in Columbus, I believe. I think he was a data analyst or something. He gave his name and his job, and he basically said, no, Ryan Day stinks. He can't coach. He gets tight in big games. Michigan. Michigan has that swagger. Michigan used to be defeated before they saw Ohio State. Ryan Day ruined that in 3 or 4 years.
Tough crowd in Columbus.
Very tough. Yes.
Tough crowd. So let's look at this matchup. In what facet of the game does Ohio State have the biggest advantage over Notre Dame and vice versa? Which facet of the game does Notre Dame have the biggest advantage over Ohio State?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say Ohio State's versatility on offense is their advantage. Like, Notre Dame is very good defensively. They've banged up in the secondary, but they've been banged up for a while in the secondary. I just think it's Ohio State's ability to beat you with the run or the pass. We saw what Texas did. They took Jeremiah Smith out of the game, but Ohio State still had good success moving the ball. Those running backs are very, very good. Will Howard, had a huge run in that game. He's not as much of a runner as Riley Leonard, but he can still pick up tough yards. So I think that's their advantage. You just have to be – you can't make a mistake against Ohio State and survive. Like, they can just beat you in so many different ways. You can make more mistakes against Notre Dame where a 10-yard run becomes a 25-yard run. But if you make a big mistake against that Ohio State offense, it's probably going to be a touchdown, as we saw at the end of the half there with that screenplay. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'd say Ohio State's – I mean, if looking for Notre Dame advantage, I would like to say the running game, but Ohio State's been so good against the run. Maybe their ability to kind of like do the little things, they win the turnover margin, the big special teams play. We saw what they did to Georgia. I think if they win the game, it's got to be like that. They've got to win the turnover battle, make a play in special teams. You don't need to be the most talented team on that day, which Notre Dame wasn't against Georgia. You just need to play better and make the key plays, and that's how they, if they win, that's how they'll win tonight.
Mitch, I think Notre Dame should go back and look at the Michigan game, because Michigan completely out-physicaled Ohio State, and it seems like Michigan is able to do that every time they play Ohio State. And Notre Dame has shown the ability to be physical. They were physical with Texas. They've been physical throughout the whole season. Now, again, you look at the Ohio State game, if you're physical with them, then you have a shot. But in saying that, what would it mean for Marcus Freeman in Notre Dame to win a national championship? Because they hadn't won one since, what, 88, 89, somewhere around there?
88, yeah.
So what will it mean, one, for Marcus Freeman, and then two, for the university in their football program?
Yeah, sort of like just validation. You know, for those of us, you know, you're not quite as old as me and Willie, Derek, but you're not a young man either. And, you know, you remember growing up, Notre Dame was competing at the top of the sport. Mm-hmm. That you expected. And then there was that little lull for a couple decades. And I was never one that thought the game passed Notre Dame by. You know, people said, oh, they can't recruit in the South anymore, you know, and for whatever reasons. I just think Notre Dame always didn't make the best coaching hires, and that's a more difficult. They don't have the advantages they maybe had 20, 30 years ago, especially when they had the TV contract. Now every game's on national TV. But a national championship win would, again, validate that we can be Notre Dame. We can stay independent. We can do things our way and still win at the highest level. And I know someone could say, oh, they made the playoff. They've competed for national championships in the past 10 years. Yeah, but they weren't close. We saw what happened in the Alabama BCS national championship game. We saw what happened when they made the playoff. Clearly, now they have kind of made that leap. And for Marcus Freeman, it's just proving that you can maybe win on, you can learn on the job. You know, he was hired maybe before he was ready for a job of that magnitude, but they believed in him, and he stubbed his toes. You know. Early, had some losses, you know, lost to Marshall, lost to Stanford at home. Obviously, they lost to Northern Illinois this year. But it just kind of proves that he belongs, at with the elite coaches in the game. So while Ryan Day, like I just talked about, has so much to gain from this, it's clearly, you know, once you get to this stage, it can't not be a big game for either program.
Mitch, I've noticed, and I don't know all the names of the young men, but there have been some key guys, and a couple offensive linemen, maybe a defensive lineman, that have been banged up along the way here in this run to the championship game for Notre Dame. Do we have any sense of the health of Notre Dame with some of these key guys?
It's not great. You know, a lot of the guys were out for the year. You know, Riley Mills, defensive lineman, defensive tackle, Benjamin Morris, their outstanding cornerback, is hurt. You know, the offensive line's been a work. You've been moving guys around. Charles Jagusaw is a redshirt freshman who was out for the year. Basically got hurt in preseason camp and was out for the year. But because college football is so long now, out for the year might not necessarily mean out for the year if you make a deep run in the college football playoff. So he is starting at left tackle. He's replacing a true freshman. But this is his second career start. I believe he started in the bowl game last year. So that's a tough task. To start against this Ohio State front there. But they've had, you know, Bo Collins, wide receiver, has been hurt. He is supposedly good to go. So I guess at this stage, the guys who are out for the year, you know, they're not going to get back. But from the past couple of weeks, I would probably say they're a little bit healthier than they have been.
I would say in watching Notre Dame, it's pretty safe to say that they would rather not have to throw it a lot with Riley Leonard. He has been sporadic at best with his accuracy. He almost seems to joke with himself sometimes about how they don't get a lot done in the passing game, but he can really run it. What I've noticed about Ohio State is their front four is about as good as I've seen in getting pressure without help from blitzers. They've got dominant defensive linemen. Yeah. They can blitz if they need to. I'm just wondering if they can get them an obvious passing down. It seems like if you can contain Riley Leonard as a runner, that's going to go a long way to shutting down Notre Dame. I have a hard time seeing Notre Dame drive the field if Leonard can't get much done as a runner.
Yeah, I mean, if they're Notre Dame's in 3rd and 8 all game, they're in trouble. It's the 3rd and 5 where they can – the threat of the run. You know, those two running backs are so good. You know, both their top two running backs are averaging like 6-7 yards per carry, and Leonard, we know what he can do there. It's when you can take away – the threat of the run. And I always just say, can quarterback X beat you on 3rd and 9 when everyone knows he has the pass? And it's not just on Riley Leonard. It's on the wide receivers. They just don't have the caliber. Well, no one has the caliber of wide receivers as Ohio State. They have subpar wide receivers from the Power 4 level, I would say. You know, Great House had a big game, over 100 yards. That was a career day for him. They just have not had consistent play from their wide receivers. So I totally agree. You know, it's cliche, this is not breaking ground, but if they can win on 1st and 2nd down, they've got a chance to win this game. If they're not winning on those downs, it's going to be very difficult for them to consistently move the ball.
This is a hard one to answer on the front end, but I'm curious how it looks with just the amount of football and time that both of these teams have put in to get there. It's been a long journey, right? And this is the last hurdle where I guess you could say no college football teams have ever had to do this much, right? So I wonder the quality of the game. I'm just hoping this is a good college football game, but I am wondering how each team handles that part of it.
Yeah, it's good. That's a good question. I think they've got, 9 days off since the last game. I think they'll, sure they're fatigued, the wear and tear of the season, but, I think at this point, whether it's adrenaline or whatever, I don't think we'll see. I don't think it'll be like in basketball, sort of different, like tired legs when you're playing in a 3-day tournament, you're in the third day. I think they'll be ready to go. But on that note, it's interesting. Pete Sampson, our Notre Dame writer, had a good story the other day that posted just on the how Notre Dame kind of prepared for this. First of all, they hired their new strength coach they hired from the Broncos in part because he's used to kind of navigating a 16-game season. They knew they would have they hoped they would have this long season. Just some of the therapy the guys have done. There's some, they knew that there were going to be more injuries this year because the more games and all that stuff. So it is interesting, and we're at this point now where like we've seen both teams are banged up, especially on the offensive line.
Mitch, now, do you see this again? Because it reminds me, and I was just watching this game this past weekend, the national championship game, Ohio State in the Hurricanes, where Miami came in as the favorite. Everybody expected them, and we know.
You're going way back.
Yeah,
you're going to like 2003.
I think everybody on that roster.
Maurice Claret.
Yeah, I think everybody on that Miami roster ended up being in the NFL. Now, incredible. Ohio State had a good roster, but coming into the game, I think it was a consensus. Miami's going to win this game, and they may win it big. But obviously, we know how the game went. They were able to run the ball effectively. It was correct. They took it into overtime, ended up winning. And whether you thought it was a pass interference or not, it's over with. But do you think that's sort of the same position that Marcus Freeman finds himself in with Notre Dame? Coming in and everybody expecting Ohio State to win. But if they do the things necessary, run the football and play tough defense, which they have been able to do, they give themselves a shot.
Yeah, I totally. I mean, there's when you get to this stage, especially in the playoff format, they've won games to get here. It's not like the BCS where there's just two teams. You had to have a good regular season, but you just kind of showed up and see how you square it matched up against that other good team. Like, I'll use two coaching cliches. Like, for Notre Dame, their best is good enough. Like, they don't need to be as good. Their roster does not need to be as good as Ohio State's, but if they play their best, it's good enough to beat Ohio State. And I just think that, that has to be the message is there that, if we play them 10, not that the coach would say this, but if they play them 10 times, Ohio State might beat them 8 times, but that doesn't matter. Notre Dame just has to beat them tonight. And there's plenty of examples, not in sport, but you brought up a good one. That's a good comparison. You had a good Ohio State team versus an elite Miami roster. This is a good Notre Dame team versus an elite Ohio State roster. Marcus Freeman doesn't need motivational tips from us, but I'm sure he's using everything he can.
I think there's still some sore Miami fans from that game.
Oh, of course, absolutely.
Well, I am sore, too, because whatever prediction I made, my score was exactly right from that. If the game would have ended regulation. So I don't care about all that. I care about my prediction from 20 years ago.
The Super Bowl was in Houston, I think, the following year, and Andre Johnson was the star young receiver for the Texans, and he was on Radio Row for the Super Bowl. You've been down to Radio Row, D-Mace. It's chaos, but he was so – you could just – the emotion on his face. Everybody – he went down the row doing interviews on I don't know how many cities and how many hours. That's how you can go. You can go do 20 interviews if you want. But everybody was asking about that play. You could tell how upset he still was. And probably to this day. Former Titan Andre Johnson, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Titan legend. Yeah.
Mitch Light, college football editor from The Athletic, joining us to preview tonight's college football national title game, Ohio State versus Notre Dame. No disrespect to the University of Ohio or Ohio University.
Bobcats. A couple breaks. They could have been here.
More than a couple.
A bounce here, bounce there.
Ohio State versus Notre Dame. Mitch, thank you so much. Enjoy the
football's
game.
Football's not round.
All right, guys. Take care.
No disrespect to those of you who are alum of Ohio University, but you are not playing in the national title game tonight. Ohio State and Notre Dame tonight at 6:30. You can hear the game starting at 7 right here on 102.5, 106.3, the game presented by Twin Peaks and Parman Tractor and Equipment. Coming up next, did you happen to see who got an NFL head coaching interview this weekend. We'll discuss that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.